الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أذن للذين يقاتلون بأنهم ظلموا وإن الله على نصرهم لقدير صدق الله العظيم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله وذ فضل الله سبحانه وتعالى over the past three Ramadans we have discussed the three major battles of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم the battle of Badr then the battle of Uhud And last year, the battle of Khandaq or the battle of Trench. Alhamdulillah, one of the youngsters in our community has taken the initiative as well to upload the recordings of these battles onto the masjid website and most of the other programs that are taking place in the masjid. We can benefit from the recordings on the website. When we commenced the series, we did not expect that we would go thus far discussing the battles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hence, there was no introduction given to these battles, and there were many smaller battles that had taken place before Badr, then between the battle of Badr and the battle of Uhud, and between the battle of Uhud and the battle of Khandaq, which we had left out. Inshallah, before moving on, we will first cover these battles, and thereafter, we will move on to the next major expedition. As we are all aware, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were in Makkah Mukarramah, then the kuffar, the disbelievers, left no stone unturned in persecuting them, in causing harm and difficulty to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. On a daily basis, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would be persecuted. Sometimes they would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam injured, hurt, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's response used to be, "Isbiru fa inni lam u'mar bil qital." Bear this with patience and perseverance, because I have not been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa taala to fight against the disbelievers. Obviously, this was a time when the Muslims were very weak; they were very few in number. They were not in the position at that time to resist and to fight against the disbelievers. At that time, there were various ayat that were revealed, encouraging the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to overlook, to persevere. Approximately 70 ayat were revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, commanding the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to bear these difficulties with patience and perseverance. One of these ayat is the ayat, كُفُّوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ, that hold back your hands, do not resist, do not fight, and focus on two things, أَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ, establish salah, وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ, and discharge your zakat. So physical ibadat, which was salah, and monetary and financial ibadat, which was zakat, both these commands were given to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Ulama explain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was preparing the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to be able to make physical sacrifice as well as monetary and financial sacrifice. Because if a person is unable to sacrifice physically and financially, then this person will not be able to make jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was a training for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and obviously it was to establish and to strengthen their iman, so that when the time will come for them to give their lives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the Sahaba radiallahu anhum will be prepared. So this was the command at that time. When they had come to Medina Munawwara, then approximately 1 year passed in Medina Munawwara as well, and there was no command on fighting. However, the Quraysh of Makkah Mukarramah, they could not stand that now there was a Muslim state that was being established. And they were trying in different ways to wipe out this Muslim state. Hence, it became necessary for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to defend the Muslim state, to defend Medina Munawwara, and to fight for their deen. Therefore, in Safar, the second year after Hijrah, permission was granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum for them to start fighting against the disbelievers. The first ayat that was revealed is a great ayat, because this ayat explains the wisdom of jihad and the wisdom of resisting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. That permission has been granted to those who have been fought with, those who have been persecuted, those that have been hurt. Permission has been granted to them to fight بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا, because they have been oppressed. So the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them permission was because of them suffering the oppression and persecution at the hands of the disbelievers. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all power to assist them. الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ إِلَّا أَن يَقُولُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Those that have been banished and removed from their homes بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ unjustly, only because they say that that Allah is our Rabb. That's the only reason why they have been dealt with in this manner, and they have been banished from their homeland. So Allah says that I have given them permission now to fight and to resist. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains one of the very great hikmah and the great wisdoms of jihad and resistance. Allah says, وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَهُدِّمَتْ صَوَامِعُ وَبِيَعُ وَصَلَوَاتُ وَمَسَاجِدُ يُذْكَرُ فِيهَا اسْمُ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا. That Allah explains that this system of resistance and fighting and jihad is not something which is special to this ummah. Rather, in the previous ummahs as well, there were certain situations when they were commanded to fight. Some of these incidents appear in the Quran and Majid as well. And Allah says that if Allah did not allow some people to resist against others and to apply pressure and to fight against others, then what would have happened is that the places of worship in the time of the Jews, the places of worship of the Jews, in the time of the Christians, the places of worship of the Christians, and in the time of the Muslims, the places of worship of the Muslims would have not been safe if there was no resistance and if there was no fighting. Just to bring this ayat in context, look at what's going on today in Palestine. Sometimes people say that why did they even start the war? If there was no resistance, then Masjid al-Aqsa would have not been safe. Obviously, there's still so much of restrictions on Masjid al-Aqsa. But if there was no type of resistance whatsoever, then Masjid al-Aqsa would have gone out of the hands of the Muslims long ago. It is because of the little resistance that is there that still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using this resistance to keep Masjid al-Aqsa still to a certain extent in the control or in the hands of the Muslims, or to allow us, to facilitate for us to go and perform salah there. So this is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the places of worship would have not been safe, meaning deen would have not been safe, practicing on deen would have not been safe if there was no such thing like resistance. So there's great hikmah and there's great wisdom in this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another ayat of the Quran Majid, after discussing the incident of the Banu Israel fighting against Amalika under the leadership of Talut, and when Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam killed Jalut, thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْلَا دَفْءُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. If the system of resistance was not there, then there would have been chaos in the earth. So because there is this fear that these people may fight against us, therefore to a certain extent there is still some type of safety and some type of sanity in the world. And Allah says, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. That Allah is one of a lot of grace and a lot of favor. Allah shows a lot of favor upon the people of the worlds. Meaning that this system of resistance is actually a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another wisdom is that in the previous ummah, when the disbelief of the disbelievers reached to a certain proportion and a certain level, then direct azab would come from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in this ummah, it is not the case, because this ummah is going to last right till Qiyamah. So there's no direct divine punishment that comes. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the system of jihad and the system of fighting to punish the disbelievers. قَاتِلُوهُمْ يُعَذِّبْهُمُ اللَّهُ بِأَيْدِيكُمْ. Fight against them, Allah will punish the disbelievers at the hands of the Muslims. So this is another wisdom behind the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nevertheless, after this permission was granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereafter himself went out in various expeditions and sent out many, many expeditions in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In his short life thereafter in Medina Munawwara, within a space of approximately 8 to 9 years, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself personally came out in 27 expeditions. That expedition in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out personally is known as a ghazwa. Ghazwa is the singular, the plural is ghazawat. And inshallah that's the focus of our discussion, the ghazawat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although fighting only took place in 9 of these expeditions, however Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out on 27 occasions. We can well imagine how much Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was out of Medina Munawwara, how much of time he spent out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent out many, many small armies, or many, many expeditions he sent out. There's various numbers that have been mentioned by the ulama of Sira, varying from 35, 36, 38, 47, 48, and up to 56 saraya that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had sent out. That expedition that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent out is known as a sariya. Sariya is the singular and the plural is saraya. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith explained, showing his desire to come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained why he would not come out with every expedition. He came out on 27 occasions, but he sent out many more. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained the reason why he did not come out. Not because, na'udhu billah, of some personal reason. However, for the sake of the ummah, and keeping the sentiments of the ummah and his followers, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not come out in every expedition. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. I take a qasam on that being in whose control is my life. لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ مَا قَعَدْتُ خِلَافَ سَرِيَّةٍ تَغْزُو فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَبَدًا. That if it was not for the fact that I will make it difficult for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, I would make it difficult for the Muslims, if it was not for this reason, I would have never stayed behind from any expedition which came out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning I would have joined, personally I would have joined every single expedition. However, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to explain that because there are many Sahaba radiallahu anhum who cannot afford coming out, I myself, I'm not financially so strong that I can sponsor them and I can assist them to come out, and they themselves do not have the financial ability to come out on every occasion. And furthermore, يَشُقُّ عَلَيْهِمْ أَن يَتَخَلَّفُوا عَنِّي. It becomes very difficult for them when they see that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming out and we have to stay behind in Medina Munawwara. So for the sake of these Sahaba radiallahu anhum, who don't have the financial ability to come out, and they find it very difficult to remain in Medina Munawwara when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is out, therefore, I do not personally take part in every expedition which comes out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, I would have joined every expedition. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains his great desire to pass away in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be blessed with the mot of shahadat. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ. I take a qasam and an oath on that being who controls the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لَوَدِدْتُ أَنِّي أَخْزُو فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَأُقْتَلْ ثُمَّ أُحْيَا ثُمَّ أُقْتَلْ ثُمَّ أُحْيَا ثُمَّ أُقْتَلْ ثُمَّ أُحْيَا ثُمَّ أُقْتَلْ. That my desire is that I must go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I must be killed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I must be made shaheed. And thereafter I must be given a second life. And then that life also must go in the same way. I must become shaheed. And then I must be brought back to life. And I must give that life in the same way. And then once again I must be brought back to life. I must go in the same way. This was the desire that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam expressed to give his life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be blessed with the maut of shahadat. So this was the permission that was granted from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and these were the ghazawat and the saraya of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, tomorrow we will continue discussing the maghazi and the battles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.